Support comes from St. Louis Public Library Foundation, helping the library serve children and their families with programs and services needed to become lifelong readers. More information about the foundation is at slpl.org.
This is St. Louis on the Air from St. Louis Public Radio. I'm Elaine Cha. Four months and one day ago, an EF3 tornado tore through parts of St. Louis County and city. And in that time, we have seen varying degrees of recovery, aid, and progress in our neighbors' efforts to stabilize and move forward. On St. Louis on the Air, we've heard from homeowners, renters, and business owners who've been impacted by the tornado. Today, we have a married couple who are co-founders of the youth literacy nonprofit, Urban Born, Latasha and Jonelle Langerston. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So we first became aware of your tornado story and your struggles with insurance and FEMA through STLPR Afternoon newscaster Mercy Ann Lewis-Thompson's reporting last month. And the damage you're dealing with that you continue to work on has had double impact because your home is also your organization's campus. Before we talk, Jonelle and Latasha, about the specifics of your recovery and rebuild story, I'd like to hear about your nonprofit organization, Urban Born. Jonelle, what is Urban Born and what services does it provide?
Urban Born is a nonprofit, 501c3. We do early education through basketball. We allow basketball to be the carrot to attract inner city children to come in and get an education. We teach children about the importance of sight words, blends, and we use sign language as a way of communicating.
Mm-hmm. And this is specific to middle school age students?
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is it that was happening at Urban Born just before the tornado, Latasha? It hit in the last week or so of the school year. Were you gearing up for summer programming then?
As Chanel said, we do have programs year-round. Is the goal to keep those up and going. And so things do heighten during the summertime. So more help is needed, more volunteers, coaches, people that want to come in and participate in whatever way they can. We're open for that. So that's a good time to just really just see what's before us and what kind of help that we have so we can see what is available to offer to the community.
When the tornado did hit, it was mid to late afternoon on Friday, May 16th. Where were you, Latasha, and your family? Was anyone home?
I had just left home. I noticed that it was getting dark and it was getting time for me to pick up our son. And I said, you know, I should go ahead and leave because it looked like it's going to rain pretty hard. And so as I was driving, I got on the 70 freeway heading west, and I noticed that there was, it looked like traffic was backing up, and it just got really dark really quickly. And so I got off, and I started off the 70, started heading down Union, headed towards U City. And all of a sudden, it was really dark, and it was like debris flying everywhere. It looked like the end of the world. You know, branches, everything was falling into the streets, and people were like dodging them. And so I was on the phone with my husband, and he was telling me that our neighbor contacted him and told him that our roof on the gym was gone. It was like completely gone. And he asked if I saw anything, and I was like, no. I said, but it's really, really bad where I am. And, you know, the Amber Alert went off, but it was like the storm was hitting. And so, and I was like, you can't believe how big, you know, chunks of debris is just, you know, flying around. And so I was, I pulled over because I saw other cars pulling over. So I pulled over. I'm like, it's not time to like take shelter or anything. And so Jonelle just instructed me, he's like, just keep driving, keep driving. And so it was like the truck in front of me, this red truck, heard him as well because he pulled out from the line of people who were pulled over and he started driving. So he kind of like the driver before, ahead of me, kind of paved the way for me to be able to drive. And it was like trees, different things was hitting his car, tree branch hit and damaged our car as well. And so until almost I got to U City, it was just like driving in darkness with just debris, different things hitting the car, even hail hit the windshield wiper. And so, yeah, it was just very, very scary. So Janelle stayed on the phone with me the entire time.
And Janelle, you were on the phone with her from where?
We were at a basketball tournament, my daughter and I, in Kentucky.
So hearing that from Kentucky, and also understanding that you all are transplants to St. Louis, had you ever been in a tornado at any point before?
No.
No.
No, I did see never. Dorothy, though.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, yeah. What is it that went through your mind then when you saw the condition of, you know, the urban-born campus and your home, Latasha?
There are no words. There are no words to just see the roof gone, to get into the house and go into the gym, and it looked like a swimming pool where the floor of the gym was. And truly, it was horrific to see it. And my son, I had him at that time, and we just could not believe what we were seeing. And I was telling my husband, I said, if I would have stayed home a little bit longer when the Amber Alert went off, I would have gone through the gym to get to the basement, because once it went off, everything just kind of happened like right away.
Mm-hmm. And that is the tornado alert.
Yes.
Right. So, Jana, you saw in pictures what had happened. For you, when you actually saw the damage for yourself, what did you feel? What were you thinking?
Well, the first thing come through my mind is, why me, God? You know, that's just like, why me? We already dealing with a lot of adversities, working with inner city children in such a combat area. But my daughter was playing basketball, and we were in Kentucky at a championship program game. And all I could think about was, everything I've worked for is gone, and we have no insurance. Because when I looked at the photo, it's something that, you know, that's completely out of some movie, sci-fi. The only thing you can see is metal beams holding the structure of the building up. And it was horrifying. So I had to drive all night long to get back home. And my daughter and I, we drove through the storm coming back, because we left the game and headed back home. And all I can think about the whole time is, how am I going to make it through this?
And what was strange was that he knew about it before I knew about it, before I made it home. He had already sent me photos from our neighbors, sending him the photos of, like, look at your place. And I'm like, I don't even have time, like, to look at them. I'm just trying to survive. Just the traffic and everything that's on the roads and all of that. So I couldn't believe it.
How did your kids respond to what they saw?
Well, my daughter probably was impacted different than my son. My son, he, you know, wants to be, you know, in the military. So he's already kind of been groomed to go into the next phase, which is help go into a solution. My daughter understanding, you know, wow, this is our home. This is where I train every day. This is where I grew up. And just, you know, even now, obviously, it still has its ramifications of this tornado, because we're not completely done with just being able to rebuild. Mm-hmm. We're a long ways away. So it's still affecting them.
And talking about all of this now, how are you all doing? Like, how have you coped with the enormity of the situation, Latasha?
I think just being in the space that it is hard, that life is not the same anymore. And just giving each other just space to just be and accept, you know, their each one of our different perspectives on it. I think for the children, seeing us just go into a mindset of rebuild, we're going to be okay, we're going to survive, this is hard, but we're resilient and we're going to come back from this. Our children has expressed that how we handled it helped them. If they would have seen in us that we're devastated, you know, we're fearful, don't know what to do, then they would have taken on that same mindset. But Janelle went into immediately, let's save the property, let's get into the gym, clear, you know, keep the floors cleaned, get the water up off the floor. And during that time, as you know, it was rain and heat constantly afterwards. So it wasn't just a storm. It was really probably equally as much what happened after the tornado as well, the elements, how it affected the floor, because initially we could have still had the gym floor if it was just a tornado, but it was just all the weather issues that we had afterwards caused us to lose the floor, which is the lion's share of the cost that it's going to take to rebuild. But just them seeing that we were just in constant, like, let's just work to save it and work together. And so seeing family and friends, our amazing church family at Refresh Community Church, come around us and friends, it's just been amazing. So that's been keeping our morale up, that so many people believe in what we're doing and wanting to contribute. Mm-hmm. Do you agree?
Yes. You know, we have the Stolhoff family, which is the original founders of the St. James Church in itself. They are part of our board, and their support and their outreach has just been remarkable.
Absolutely.
It's almost like she says, you know, hey, the people, you know, they came in, they circled around us and helped as much as they can, because, again, we're still going through this. And like anything, you're going to get a jumpstart with a whole lot of people to get involved, and then now they'll let you get on your feet, but they kind of go back on into their life. But our life is still in turmoil.
Mm-hmm. We're going to take a quick break here. We're speaking with Janelle and Latasha Langerston. They're a married couple and the co-founders of the youth literacy nonprofit Urban Born. Their home, which is also the organization's campus, sustained serious damage from the May 16th tornado 4 months ago. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio. Welcome back. Let's return to our conversation with Latasha and Janelle Langerston. They are a married couple and the co-founders of Urban Born, a literacy nonprofit located in the College Hill neighborhood that serves middle school-aged youth. The Langerstons' home, which is also their organization's campus, was severely damaged by the May 16th tornado and subsequent heavy rains 4 months ago. Janelle and Latasha, it was immediately clear that you all had a great deal of work ahead of you once you saw how much damage the tornado alone caused. It took off about three-quarters of your roof and then left the building exposed to extreme heat and thunderstorms. And then there was another storm to face, applying for FEMA aid. Janelle, can you give me a rundown of the times, plural, you applied for FEMA aid, starting with the first application? Now, how long was it before you got a response?
Well, we had not got any responses other than the fact someone came out, they did a walkthrough. That probably was a week later or two. They were really fast at coming out and looking at the home. And she couldn't believe that this was our home, so she had a lot of doubt in what she was looking at. It's kind of unorthodox. It's a nice big place. And the first time she kind of, you know, was a little apprehensive, so she wanted me to prove. And so I continued to prove, because I understand they're up against a lot of things as well. But after proving all of these things, she left, and then she said, wait a minute, I got to come back again. And then she came back again, and she left. And then she said, you know what, I got to come back one more time because they still don't know. And then she had to take pictures. And once this process took place, we were denied. And then I called her, and I said, hey, you know, they just denied us. And they said, oh, don't worry, you know, it denies you at first. And then next thing you know, we were reached by one of the affiliate programs you guys have. And that sister came out from the radio. And I tell you, whatever phone call she made that touched somebody in some place, I got a call that next day.
And you're talking about Marissa Ann Lewis Thompson.
Yes, I am.
She's our afternoon newscaster.
Okay.
What kind of proof was the FEMA employee looking for to ascertain that you actually lived there?
Well, we proved we had occupancy. We proved with the electricity bill, the gas bill, the water bill, the phone bill. And then she was like, okay, I need to take pictures. We need to go around and look at your bedroom. We need to see your
kitchen,
and let me see your living room, and just, you know, started opening up doors. Want to see the, you know, want to see the closet.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the things, FEMA is not funding these people who have lost properties that don't live in them.
Mm-hmm.
These properties are just gonna be to the wayside. If you can't prove that you're living them, they were investment properties that never got worked on. But we are clearly living in this place.
Mm-hmm. Natasha, how did that feel to have someone from a federal agency not only assess your home, but sort of make a judgment as to whether you legitimately lived there?
It was very uncomfortable. Very uncomfortable. She went into the kids' rooms, and not just in having a stranger in our personal and private space, but also to take pictures. Not really sure where the pictures are going. So that was very, very uncomfortable for me, and I think the children as well. But I just kept thinking to myself, you know, it's for the greater good. If we can get urban-born, you know, the resources it needs, and for us to do what we came to do, for the community, it's okay. So then to turn around and see that it was denied after is like, it is indisputable that we live here. And being in the kitchen, her being in the kitchen and taking pictures and just seeing all that she saw, I was just thinking like, well, who are they giving the resources to? Because it's clearly obvious that we have a need, a great need, and the work that we're doing is beyond just for ourselves and our family. So it was disheartening getting the rejection message, and just kind of feeling like our private space was, I don't know, violated, exposed.
You got to keep in mind that our sleeping quarters roof also flew off.
Mm-hmm.
So we were under demanding like type of circumstances. We had to hurry up and patch that because that's where we sleep. We don't have any family out here. We're alone. It's just us. So anything that happens, we have to come together and do it. The family that has adopted us, obviously, are brothers and sisters from the church and people in the community. But, you know, we don't know who to call in times of this. This is just like, who you gonna call? Everybody mm-hmm. going through it right now.
So community was your covering.
Yes.
Were you able to stay in your home? I mean, you've described all of the rain and the heat. Where have you been staying all this time?
Oh, I had the roof fixed that same day. That I had a crew on there, you know, that night. It took place that Saturday. By that Saturday afternoon, we were getting our roof completely covered up. And I'm a developer in the community. We've been buying houses and fixing them up and financing the buyers to stabilize the community. So we have people that's always working. So I was able to bring some people in that next day and stabilize our sleeping quarters temporarily. But the gym was so beyond stabilizing that it was a process for that. We stayed there and we fought it out every day because the goal was to save the floor.
Mm-hmm.
So we're mopping the floor up with water every day, all day. As the rain come, we're mopping it up. As the rain come, because we knew we weren't going to be able to afford to replace the floor.
So with the work that you do then in rehabbing and in developing homes in the neighborhood, you're seeing what your neighbors are going through as well.
Yes.
What have they been experiencing, as far as you understand?
Well, we have tenants that has stays in some of our properties. Their roofs came off. We had to repair that, you know, as well. people who properties we've sold properties to, their roofs was damaged, so we helped them get their roof back in order as well. The goal is we just came together. This is one of them times that I can honestly say that the community had a common cause, a common, you know, problem, and we, you know, just came together for one another. Our church came out refreshed, as Latasha said. Pastor Carlos made an announcement that day, and the next thing you know, we had about 20, 30, 40, 50 people show up, and we were cleaning up the whole neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people bought saws and went to our neighbors' properties and helped get things out. They brought sandwiches and foods and diapers and milk and, you know, set up and so people could just come by and get water and supplies that they need as well. And we just went people from the church went down different streets and saw where branches were, like, blocking, you know, areas for people to be able to drive. And so removed that and put it aside. So just kind of just came together and really just helped in any way they could, mm-hmm. which was great.
Jenna, you mentioned that after Mercy Ann Lewis Thompson did the feature piece about the situation that you all were experiencing, that you heard from FEMA. How much was the aid that you received?
Okay, so once we heard from FEMA, we had a check for like $12,000. Again, we're grateful for that, trust me. It doesn't really do a lot for the damage that we endured. But after the radio, which is really interesting, we got another phone call after we did the interview with her from a supervisor that told an employee, Constance, to give us a call and offer us further aid because they see that we really needed it. And I spoke to Constance. She gave me her mobile number. She gave me her email. And she said, hey, go get the receipts for this, and we should be able to help you further with, you know, a grant. You know, we'll be able to help you out. And so I sent them the receipts and the information. And again, it's back to the same old, you know, shuffle. I haven't been able to hear back from them. So, but the initial time, it was the contact of your on-air personality, that sister. Okay. She put mm-hmm. some, I don't know who she talked to, but it worked.
Mm-hmm. So as we look ahead, what have you been able to do with Urban Born, with your nonprofit, since the tornado hit, Latasha?
I would say the biggest thing is getting the roof back on. I think that has been huge. Cost a lot, but that's been great. And a lot of the debris, a lot of the beams and wood and everything that was in the gym has been picked up. We've even started clearing out the basement, which is huge. So, yeah, it's just been a lot of so much debris that has needed to get taken care of really before we can even look at doing things with the gym floor. So, out of the big three, the gym is definitely our biggest tackle that we've done so far. But yeah, it's been some wonderful people who have walked alongside of us and helped with filling up several bins with just clearing things out so we can move to the next phase of doing the floor.
Mm-hmm. And mold has also been a problem too, right?
Yes, it is. It is. It is. And I want to touch back on what Tasha said. Yes, we did get the roof on. It cost us a good $130,000, $40,000 to get the roof just itself, okay? Then we had, because of the news media and the people that's come out and supported us to let people know, we had volunteers come in to remove the whole gym floor. We just had to put 2 40-foot dumpsters out there. But we haven't been able to do anything with the children so far, okay? This is what I was thinking you were asking. We are shut down because we can't open back up until we are able to continue to gut the place out. The basement, as you know, Tasha mentioned, the rain afterwards, we were fine if it had stopped raining. We'd have saved the floor, but we had downstairs classrooms with books and desks and computers and everything is all gone. So the floor, the ceiling that was attached to the floor, all gone now. And so, yes, we did remove a lot of it, but we haven't had a chance to start tackling some of the other things because as a developer and my wife being a stay-at-home mom, I have to get back on the program to continue to bring money in to provide for my family. So I'm working and then have to do this, and then I'm working, and then so I'm burning two ends of the candle, as I would one would say at this time.
And how long ago was that call from Constance from FEMA? You've been waiting now.
It has been at least since about a month. I guess whatever the time frame from the radio aired, well, we got the call the next day, or that day, in fact, I should say. And we spoke that day, and now I've submitted the paperwork, and I've called several times, left several messages, emailed it, you know, and I haven't heard back at all.
So the urgency then in hearing back has to do with all of those things that are stalled with Urban Born.
Yes.
Absolutely.
What I want to close with here is, you know, Urban Born, again, is in the College Hill neighborhood. We've talked mostly about the organization campus part of what has happened. This is clearly where your heart is, but it is your home as well. Mm-hmm. What are the next steps as far as repairs that are necessary for your own healthy living?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing is we just had to replace the roof. Again, we had it temporarily, so through rains it was leaking. We stabilized our sleeping area. Our HVAC units obviously had problems. We got them back up and running. I think that what would help us is if there was people out there that own companies that have wood, for instance, and say, hey, you know what, we'll donate the floor. We know that is a 120-foot by 60-foot room that needs wood floor. That's a lot of floor. Floor decor, they quoted us $27,000. We have Don and family in them who said, hey, we'll purchase the floor, have made contributions to do so, but now we have to find out a way to get it installed. And again, a lot of times people don't want to donate, but we can use some of that time and that energy and that expertise. We feel that we get our floor up and running, and we get our bathroom area in the downstairs, the first level stabilized. We can possibly be ready for next summer to go ahead and start bringing back programs, because of the other areas we don't have to worry about right away. But we need that support. We just do. Because of the resources that I have had in reserves, I've had to use to stabilize our home.
When I hear basketball gym, I think about the floor, which you've talked a lot about, Janelle. And I think about the sounds of sneakers squeaking on that floor and how it is an indication of the activity that is happening there. What are the sounds that you are looking forward to hearing again, Latasha?
The laughter. Yeah, the laughter. The sounds of the clocks in the gym during the game. Parents talking to their children. The excitement of seeing their children play, and just the joy that brings, the concession stand being open and people there. And we had a gentleman that was volunteering, Gary. He actually started a prayer list of people would come to the concession stands, and he would just check in with them, see how they were doing, and start asking, do you have a prayer request? Is there anything I can pray for you about? And at the concession stand, we had this long list of things that he would gather that people that were coming for the games asking for prayer for. And so we would take time to pray about that. So that was really exciting, so to see that. And as far as the academic part, just seeing the kids, you know, their little faces and them doing sign language, repeating after Janelle, and saying sight words, and just certain things that they weren't getting in school, seeing that they were excited and that they could learn. And so their faces being excited to really get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
From your lips to God's ears.
Absolutely.
Latasha and Janelle Langerston, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing about your experience.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
The Langerstons are the founders of the youth literacy nonprofit Urban Born.
This episode was produced by Maya Norfleet.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Doerr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer.
St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thank you.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis.